So it's not exactly world peace we've achieved here, but obesity rates among preschoolers are falling in many states for the first time in decades, the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says. Declines in obesity among low-income preschoolers found in 18 states in the U.S. Virgin Islands from 2008 to 2011. CDC Director Thomas Frieden said yesterday that this is the first report to show many states with declining rates of obesity in our youngest children after literally decades of rising rates. It must be all that organic produce and healthy, high-fiber, unprocessed chow, right? Or could it be that fast food has changed from the greasy this?
It's big, it's beefy, it's the grilled stuffed burrito from Taco Bell.
To the healthy sounding this.
The latest new McCafe Blueberry Pomegranate Smoothie. Sweet blueberries, raspberries, and a splash of pomegranate juice.
Pomegranate juice. Wonderful. This one's cover issue for The Atlantic magazine is all about fast food. Reporter David Frieden joins us. David, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So your fast food cover coincides with this CDC report on declining obesity rates. Could fast food actually have something to do with it? You make that argument.
Well, I think it might a little bit. We have a long way to go, both in fast food and in obesity rates. I don't think we can rest because we see a little bit of decline here. We still have an enormous problem. Obesity is rapidly becoming the biggest killer of humanity, and we got a lot of work to do in fast food and elsewhere.
How do processed foods actually, at least with a rational look at processed foods and utilizing them as a component in a balanced diet, how can that fight obesity?
Well, in any kind of food, processed or unprocessed, one of the things we want to do is reduce fat. We want to reduce sugar. Let's get rid of what I call problem carbs, the simple carbs, the refined carbs, the starch. And that's true whether you're talking about an organic blueberry pie or whether you're talking about a Big Mac. So the problem is most people who have a weight problem tend to be heavy on the processed food, less so on the unprocessed food. So what I argue is we shouldn't just be telling people to eat fruits and vegetables. We should be saying, let's get healthier processed food.
And how do you do that? What would that mean, and how does eating organic choices and healthy sort of fresh unprocessed choices miss what could be achieved if we modified processed food?
To get processed food healthier, we basically know what to do, and we've done it before. There are all kinds of ways of lowering fat and sugar in processed foods while, and this is critical, while retaining a lot of their appeal. I mean, there's a reason people eat processed food. It pushes all our neurological buttons. It's cheap. It's convenient. So if we're going to lower the fat and we're going to lower the sugar in ways that people will keep eating it, we better do it so that we keep pushing those buttons, or else people will just flip to processed food that has crap in it. So that's really the trick. Now, the other thing to understand here is just because you're eating unprocessed food doesn't mean you're eating food that's going to help you with your weight. If it's high in fat, if it's high in sugar, as many unprocessed foods are, you're going to have exactly the same problems.
One of the things that's interesting in the argument that you make is that, you know, the success that the processed food industry has had in pressing these kind of brainstem buttons is actually a doorway, an incentive pathway for getting people to do things healthier. If you can press those buttons with processed food but deliver a healthy product, you actually might have more bang for your buck than the sort of hold your nose and eat a piece of celery approach in the organic aisle.
It makes an incredible amount of sense. It's something that most scientists, food scientists, nutritionists agree with completely, which is we talk about the processed food industry as being evil geniuses of designing food, of engineering food, and of marketing it. Well, sure, of course they are. They're the best in the world at this stuff. Let's use that. They know how to do it. And by the way, they're ready to do it and willing to do it if we'll give them credit for it. Let's push them to go ahead and do this, reward them for doing it, and they will absolutely produce healthier food that will help with the obesity crisis.
David Frieden is a contributing editor for The Atlantic. And now let me just to get into the backstory here, David, do you mind?
Sure.
You hate foodies, right? You have friends that are foodies. They annoy you. They really make you mad. And so that's why you went down this road here.
I'm a foodie. I eat pretty much just the way Michael Pollan says I should. I eat vegetables like they're candy. I eat in a very, very healthy way. I would like to see everybody eat this way. I think it's the best way to control weight. The problem is right now that it's not the way people who have weight problems are eating. And we don't know how yet to switch them to eating unprocessed foods. The problem with the unprocessed food movement, the foodies, the Michael Pollanites, that really does, in fact, upset me and disturb me and make me very angry, is that they say it's the only solution and that we must make all processed food go away. The only way is to get everybody eating unprocessed food. Not going to happen. The people, many people can't afford that food. They can't access it and they don't like it. And it's just not realistic to say that's the only solution.
So it's kind of a design solution you're talking about here. Are the food giants, is the food industry, the fast food industry, the processed food industry, interested in a design approach that maintains the processing but delivers a healthier end product?
Absolutely. The processed food industry wants one thing, profits. Now, that's often said in a way that means it's synonymous with evil. That's not true. If they can profit from doing good, they will. The problem right now is if they make their food healthier, they get knocked for it. Right away, the healthy food movement will come right in and say, well, this is just a token effort. They're just disguising all their crap. They're just trying to make us sick by using this in a switch and bait and switch way. And we have to stop doing that. We have to start giving them credit when they actually do the right things, which they often do, by the way.
And they're basically operating from a position of power because they do have the attention of so many people with a weight problem. You ever had a weight problem, David?
I have, yes, absolutely. And in fact, you'll find most people who take an interest in writing about this have at some point had a weight problem.
And I know you said that you eat vegetables like they're candy. I mean, I don't want to hear about how, you know, your guilty pleasure is like rhubarb or something. You're not going to tell me that, right?
Not if you don't want to hear it. I won't tell you that. But
what is the food? What is the guilty food for you?
Oh, well, the guilty food would be a great burger. I mean, I love that stuff. I have the same weaknesses and probably more so than most people do. So I'm a foodie that has gotten to be a foodie over a long period of time, making slow, gradual changes. And that's the way you have to do it. People generally aren't going to leap from eating crap to eating healthy food overnight. And to try to push people to doing that is largely been proven to be a waste of time. So let's guide people towards it. Start off with healthier junk food and then move them eventually towards a Michael Pollan kind of solution.
All right. David Friedman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
David Friedman is a contributing editor for The Atlantic, making the argument that the processed food industry is a pathway, a design pathway towards healthier food and lower obesity rates. For David Friedman, the guilty pleasure is the burger, even a redesigned burger. For Sean out there in Cincinnati, it's...
My fast food guilty pleasure is the McDonald's cheeseburger Happy Meal. Brings me back to a moment of childhood before I recognized that Mickey D's was bad for you.
Many of you talked about McDonald's as you shared your stories of what fast food makes you happy. What is that brainstem button that is actually a way of getting your attention? Nikki from Bloomfield, New Jersey.
My fast food guilty pleasure is always a McDonald's french fries and a Coke. After a night on the town, it somehow makes me feel so much better almost instantly. And no, the irony of this is not entirely lost on me.
Not all of you indulge your guilty pleasures, though. A listener in Jacksboro, Texas said, haven't had fast food in years, being a big guy my whole life. In 2006, I lost over 100 pounds, never looked back. Swearing off fast food might be the best decision I ever made. Masuma from New York says, I love hot wings and pizza, even though I don't want to eat so much, but it has to be halal. Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And happy end of Ramadan to so many of you. Thanks for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.